Translation. O King, Lord Shiva, Narada, sage amongst the demigods, and Kapila, the incarnation of Godhead, all know very confidentially about his glories through direct contact. Purport by Srila Prabhupada. Pure devotees of the Lord are all bhavas, or persons who know the glories of the Lord in different transcendental loving services. As the Lord has innumerable expansions of his plenary form, there are innumerable pure devotees of the Lord who are engaged in the exchange of service of different humors. Ordinarily, there are 12 great devotees of the Lord, namely Brahma, Narada, Shiva, Kumara, Kapila, Manu, Prahlad, Bhishma, Janaka, Sukadeva Goswami, Bali Maharaj, and Yamaraj. Bhishma Dev, although one of them, has mentioned only three important names of the 12 who know the glories of the Lord. Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur, one of the great acharyas in the modern age, explains that Anubhava, or the glory of the Lord, is first appreciated by the devotee in ecstasy, manifesting the symptoms of perspiring, trembling, weeping, bodily eruptions, etc., which are further enhanced by steady understanding of the glories of the Lord. Such different understandings of bhavas are exchanged between Yashoda and the Lord, binding the Lord by ropes, and in the chariot driving by the Lord in the exchange of love with Arjuna. These glories of the Lord are exhibited in his being subordinated before his devotees, and that is another feature of the glories of the Lord. Sukadeva Goswami and the Kumaras, although situated in the transcendental position, became converted by another feature of bhava and turned into pure devotees of the Lord. Tribulations imposed upon the devotees by the Lord constitute another exchange of transcendental bhava between the Lord and the devotees. The Lord says, I put my devotee into difficulty, and thus the devotee becomes more purified in exchanging transcendental bhava with me. Placing the devotee into material troubles necessitates delivering him from the illusory material relations. The material relations are based on reciprocation of material enjoyment, which depends mainly on material resources. Therefore, when material resources are withdrawn by the Lord, the devotee is 100% attracted toward the transcendental loving service of the Lord. Thus, the Lord snatches the fallen soul from the maya of material existence. Tribulations offered by the Lord to his devotee are different from the tribulations resulting from vicious action. All these glories of the Lord are especially known to the great Mahajans like Brahma, Shiva, Narada, Kapila, Kumara, and Bhishma, as mentioned above, and one is able to grasp it by their grace. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Om Ajnana Tamandasya Gananjanan Shlakaya Chakshura Malitam Yena Tayasmai Shri Gurave Namaha. Devotees are often put into difficulty. This is one way that they depend more fully on the Lord. Even the gopas were put into difficulty because Krishna left them, and they were very morose, very upset, and not at all happy. But they were experiencing a different type of happiness. And so when Krishna leaves us, or when we think he leaves us, because he never really leaves us, or when we think he deals harshly with us, it's all for our benefit. So we have the story of Parikshit Maharaj. Parikshit Maharaj, he was cursed to die. None of us would probably want to be cursed to die within 7 days, but Parikshit Maharaj, he was cursed to die within 7 days. So he had to be very detached from his material opulence. But he didn't resent the fact that he was cursed. He just took it as Krishna's mercy. He didn't resent the boy, what was his name? Sringi. Sringi, who cursed him. He didn't resent him because he he accepted that this is a blessing, actually. So he said, Tiraskrita Vipralavda Shepta Shipta Hatarapi Nasyata Pratikurvanti Tadbhakta Prabhavopihi. He said that the devotees of the Lord are so forbearing that even though they are cursed, blasphemed, neglected, or even killed, they're never inclined to avenge themselves. So this is the mentality of a real devotee. And we have to develop this mentality, actually, if we want to go back to Godhead. Because there is one verse in the Srimad Bhagavatam, and I can't remember exactly where it is, I've got it written down somewhere, that if you have any grudges against anybody, you cannot go back to Godhead. So therefore, we have to free ourselves from any ill feelings towards anybody else, because we should understand that nothing happens without the Lord's will, and that if we get some bad reaction from somebody else, it's Krishna's mercy, and we have to see that we actually deserve it. This is the proper consciousness of a devotee. Everybody, how many of you know the verse, tat te nukampam? So this is a very important verse. Everybody should learn this verse. Tat te nukampam shushamikshamano bunjanare vatmakritam vipakam hridvag vapabir vividan namaste jivete yu mukti sadayabhak. It's a very important verse. Actually, Lord Brahma spoke this verse. Lord Brahma, he wasn't attacked or anything, but he made a fool of himself. And being embarrassed is very painful. If you suddenly speak out of turn or you do something which makes you look foolish, it's very embarrassing. So Lord Brahma, he wasn't attacked by anybody, but he thought he was cleverer than Krishna, and Krishna embarrassed him. So therefore, he just felt so foolish and smaller than a blade of grass. So he composed this verse, which is a very important verse. Prabhupada quotes this verse a lot. One who goes on suffering the reactions to their past sinful activities, but at the same time, from within the core of their heart, they offer obeisances unto the Lord, they are certainly eligible for liberation. And this has become their rightful claim, just as it is the rightful claim of the son to inherit the property of the father. So this is the sure path of success, is to understand that everything is happening by Krishna's arrangement. When something happens to us, we should not feel picked upon or anything like that. We're just happy to be devotees, and if something we don't like happens, then we have to be happy. Like Prabhupada says, the demigods, he's talking about the story of Vritrasura. Vritrasura was a great devotee, but he was in the body of a demon. He didn't even really do anything wrong, we could hardly, Prabhupada says, that he simply thought it was strange that Parvati was embracing Lord Shiva in the midst of the assembly of sages. So it is a little bit strange, but I have to be careful in case I get cursed to become a demon. But he was smiling. He's thinking, this is strange. And so Parvati, she got really upset. And she cursed him to become a demon. She said, you don't know how to behave, so you can take birth in a very low body. So he was cursed, but when he was cursed, he accepted the curse very graciously. He smiled, and it wasn't at all perturbed. So therefore, there was a famous verse spoken about him, or Narayana Parasave Nakutashina Bibhyati Svagapavaganarakesh Aputulyata Darshina. This is a very important verse. Prabhupada quotes this verse as well, that whether a devotee is in an in the heavenly planets or in a hellish condition, a devotee, he's always happy. Of course, it's not, Prabhupada said, being a devotee is not so easy. To have this kind, to be a real devotee, we get a chance to be a devotee. But to be a devotee of this stature, where we're never perturbed by anybody who does anything to us or says anything to us, is very elevated level. But this is a level we have to try to come to. We have to learn. This is why these books are written, to teach us how to behave. That we have to come to this level, because basically this is what the spiritual world is. There's no grudges. Everybody loves everybody. It's said there's actually a hellish planet. Even if you don't offer your enemy a place to sit and kind words and a glass of water, there's a hellish planet. So therefore, we have to be very kind to everybody. This is one of the qualities of a devotee. So there are other examples of great devotees who accepted suffering conditions, but were not at all disturbed by the fact that they were suffering. Like Sanatana Goswami. Sanatana Goswami, as we know, he descended from the spiritual world. All the Goswamis descended from the spiritual world. They were actually Manjaris. So they had no business here for material enjoyment, but they came here to enlighten us. They came, as it is said, to pour transcendental nectar upon us in the form of their beautiful books. And they wrote so many books, and it'd be practically impossible to read all the books they wrote. And we couldn't hardly understand the books they wrote, to be honest, because some of them are written in such elevated language. So the poetry, for instance, in the Lalita Madhava, the Vidagdha Madhava, it's so subtle. And you know what innuendo is? No. Who knows what innuendo is? Innuendo means when you say something, but it's very hard to decipher your meaning, what you're trying to say. So they wrote, specifically Lalita Madhava, Vidagdha Madhava, they're very subtle, hard to understand what they're trying to say. But of course, they're saying something. But to understand it for us is difficult. So they came to the material world to write these beautiful books. But Sanatana Goswami, even though he was descended from the spiritual world, but he was put into great difficulty. And you probably know the story that Sanatana Goswami, he got some really nasty sores on his body that smelt really bad. He was in the jungle of Jharkhand, and he came to Jagannath Puri. He came to see Lord Chaitanya. And he had these sores on his body, and they were itching, and they were horrible, and they were exuding nasty stuff. And Lord Chaitanya would embrace him. And he really didn't like the fact that Lord Chaitanya embraced him, because, you know, he didn't want to contaminate the Lord. So this is one, you know, symptom of a devotee, that we keep very clean. You know, one of the things Krishna says in the 11th canto is devotees always washing their hands and keeping clean. The very contaminating place, this material world. Sanatana Goswami, he had these sores, and he just didn't like Lord Chaitanya embracing, so he wanted to kill himself. Not only that, also he would burn his feet purposely to avoid touching the pujaris of the Jagannath temple by going the direct route through the city town center. He would walk on the hot sand and he would get burning blisters on his feet. So he was so, you know, conscious of not contaminating anybody. So anyway, Lord Chaitanya, he embraced him and he wanted to kill himself, throw himself under the wrath cart. And Lord Chaitanya, being omniscient, he could understand what was in his heart. So he said, if I thought I could get liberation by killing myself, I would have done it millions of times. It's not that simple. You can't kill yourself and achieve love of Godhead. That's not the process. You have to kill your false ego. You have to kill your material desires. But the only way is to execute sadhana bhakti until you come to the level of anatta nivritti and then gradually love of God. So you can't kill yourself, he told him. So then he had another idea that was told to him by Jagadananda Pandit, who was another great personality, who was actually an incarnation of Satyabhama, one of Krishna's queens, his principal queen, actually. And so Jagadananda Pandit told him, you should go to Vrindavan. But Lord Chaitanya found out, and he said, I don't know why Jagadananda Pandit is advising you. He's a new boy. You're more senior. He's got a cheek. So that didn't work either. So then Lord Chaitanya explained how when he embraced Sanatana Goswami, he felt great ecstasy. And the aroma from his body to Lord Chaitanya, it smelled very beautiful, like a mixture of sandalwood paste and camphor. So Lord Chaitanya, the reason that is because Lord Chaitanya saw him and Haridas Thakur, as he explained, like his little children. And when you have a baby, if you, of course men won't have babies, but, you know, to the mother, the stool of the baby smells like what? Sandalwood paste. So this is because, you know, the baby comes from the mother's body, the breast milk comes from the mother's body, and the mother loves the baby so much. So, you know, Lord Chaitanya felt this about Sanatana Goswami and Haridas Thakur, that he loved them so much. And he said, besides that, I have many acts of devotional service that I want to accomplish through your body. So we understand, because I'm focusing on the latter part of this purport, because Prabhupada emphasizes this mentality a lot, how a devotee may get some suffering in life, but a devotee does not hold a grudge. So in the story of Ritrasura fighting the demigods are materialistic devotees. And the demigods, they needed help to conquer Ritrasura. Ritrasura, he was the demon created by Parvati when Chitraketu laughed at Parvati. So he was a demon, and he was very powerful. And the demigods were very afraid. So they approached the Lord. When the demigods get into trouble, they always approach Vishnu to get help. But a pure devotee never approaches Vishnu to get help when he's in trouble. This is the difference between a materialistic devotee and a pure devotee. A materialistic devotee simply accepts his situation as Krishna's mercy and does not complain. Not easy to come to that platform, but that's the ideal platform. And so the demigods, they prayed for help. So, but Ritrasura, who was in the body of a demon, he was much more advanced, even though he was in a body of a demon. And he accepted his situation very graciously, and he knew that it was his karma for laughing at Lord Shiva, and he was happy to accept the punishment meted out to him. But he prayed very fervently. He prayed actually like a gopi. It sounds like the prayers of the gopis, if you only noticed it today. But he said, Oh, my Lord, O Supreme Personality of Godhead, will I again be able to be a servant of your eternal servants who find shelter only at your lotus feet? O Lord of my life, may I again become their servant so that my mind may always think of your transcendental attributes, my words always glorify those attributes, and my body always engage in the loving service of your Lordship. This verse gives the sum and substance of devotional life. One must first become a servant of the servant of the servant of the Lord. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu advised, and he also showed by his own example, that a living entity should always desire to be a servant of the servant of the servant of Krishna. So Vritrasura, he was put into that difficult situation. He had his head cut off, his arms cut off. But his consciousness was completely pure. He wanted to die. He didn't want to kill himself. He wanted to be killed. And he was happy to be killed because the sooner he was killed, the sooner he would go back to Godhead. But to come to this point of accepting Krishna's mercy in whatever form it takes, that to accept it in the right mood, we have to understand Krishna. We have to know that Krishna never means any harm to anybody. Krishna is the kindest person. And Krishna always wants the best for his devotees. Just like when Gopakumar, this is a Brihad Bhagavatamrita, when Gopakumar finally went to Vaikuntha, it wasn't Krishna, it was Vishnu. When he went there, Shishu Radha Gokulananda Kijai, Shishu Sitaram Lakshmanaman Kijai. When he finally went there, after traversing all over the different planetary systems, meeting all the great devotees, then he, Lord Narayan, he said, I've been waiting for you for so long to come back to me. I was in one life, I was thinking, I was thinking in this life, maybe he'll come to me. Or maybe in that life he'll come to me. But I've just been waiting so long. I'm so happy to see you again. I couldn't contravene the laws of karma and bring you back any sooner. So I had to wait patiently for you to come to me. So this is the Lord, that whatever form of the Lord is always so kind. And if you read about Krishna, you'll understand how kind Krishna is, like Mahatma Prabhu. He quoted that verse yesterday about Putana. Putana, she went to kill Krishna, but she got rewarded with the spiritual body of Krishna's mother in the spiritual world. And then we have the story of Sudama. Sudama was such a great devotee. He didn't want to go and disturb the Lord with his material desires. He was so poor, he was so skinny, didn't have enough to eat. His wife was worried about him. That's all. So she begged him to go and see his friend Krishna. So he went to see Krishna. And, you know, you have to give somebody a gift when you go to see them. So he didn't have anything to give. So she begged some paltry old chip rice. We probably wouldn't be happy eating old chip rice. And Krishna is used to being offered the very best of everything. But this is all he could get. So it was wrapped up in a dirty old piece of cloth. He went to see Krishna. Immediately Krishna got off his bed and washed his feet. So Krishna exemplifies all the qualities of a devotee, even though he's the Supreme Lord. He's so polite. So he washed Sudama's feet. Then he took the water and he put it on his head. He put it on his wife's head. And he embraced Sudama. Sudama was so embarrassed that he had nothing to offer except for this paltry bit of chip rice, which he was hiding behind his back because he was too ashamed to present it to Krishna. But Krishna, he grabbed it from behind his back and he tasted it and he said, this is so nice. You're so kind. And then he started to eat some more. But Rukmini, she didn't want him to eat anymore because she didn't want him to get indigestion because she knew it wasn't very fresh chip rice. So she wouldn't let him eat anymore. So Sudama, then he went home and this beautiful princess from the heavenly planets approached him. And he couldn't recognize her. And behind her was an amazing palace. And then he realized it was his wife that Krishna decked out in the most beautiful way. And this beautiful palace. And then in the story of Kubja, Kubja was, according to the Gauga Samhita, she was an incarnation of Saparnika. Saparnika. So when Kubja saw Krishna and offered the sandalwood paste, she was crippled. She couldn't stand up straight. So immediately Krishna pinched her cheeks and just stood her right up. She turned into the most beautiful damsel. And then she wanted to enjoy with Krishna. So she invited him to her place. So she's not on the level of the gopis because she wanted to enjoy Krishna as opposed to the gopis wanting Krishna to enjoy them. So the gopis are the summum bonum type devotees. So when we hear about Krishna, that's why it's so important to read the books, to hear what a wonderful person is, Krishna is, how kind he is. And he's so grateful. Therefore, there's a nice verse. It's actually spoken by Krura. There's a similar one by Uddhava. And he said, you are such a kind and affectionate friend. Who would ever give you up for anybody else? You're so kind that you fulfill the desires of your devotees. And you protect your devotees from all kinds of problems. Who would ever give you up and surrender to somebody else, knowing the benefits you give? So that's a devotee that we understand from hearing about Krishna, that Krishna is just the kindest person, the most humble person, the funniest person. And therefore, we have faith in Krishna that even when things go wrong in life, which we think is wrong, but Krishna thinks is good for us. Even when things seem to go wrong, then we take this as Krishna's mercy, because we know Krishna would never harm anybody. Some people become atheists because they think God is cruel, that God has put so many people into suffering, so many starving children in the world, so many people in difficult situations, so they become atheists. But a devotee never ever doubts Krishna, because a devotee knows that Krishna always wants the best for us. And therefore, he sends his devotees to this world. He comes himself. And if we have faith in Krishna, and if we hear about Krishna, if we take up devotional service, this one verse, how's it go? It says, I can't remember the Sanskrit, that one who accepts the path of devotional service, even if he's running with his eyes closed, will never trip or fall. So even if we perform devotional service, in the purport to that verse, it says that even if people do not read the books, if they don't understand Krishna's position from studying Shastra, which is really important to do. But even if you don't, it's like running with your eyes closed, because we see through the eyes of Scripture. It was Shastra Chakshusha. Everything we believe through the Scripture. Like we believe milk is good for you, because the scriptures say, who worships the Brahmins and the cows like this one verse. Anyway, so if we accept the path of devotional service, we will never blunder or fall in our endeavors. But, of course, we have to develop the qualities of a devotee. And one of the main qualities is dānya, humility, which is very difficult for most people to develop. But this is essential to understand how insignificant we are and to always pray very seriously for Krishna to protect us. Like Prahlad Maharaj. Prahlad Maharaj, he is the emblem of a devotee. The whole seventh canto is practically all about Prahlad Maharaj. Nrisimhadev, he is only a small portion of the seventh canto. And the seventh canto begins with the chapter, the Supreme Lord is equal to everybody. Which means that Krishna doesn't, he doesn't discriminate against anybody. He loves everybody. But at the same time, he has his servants perform their service of purifying the soul in the material world so that they eventually go back to Godhead. So Prahlad Maharaj, he's a great devotee, and he, when he was pushed forward by Brahma and the demigods to pacify Lord Nrisimhadev, who was so angry because Hiranyakashipu had harassed his devotees. Lord Nrisimhadev was shaking with anger. He was so angry. But Prahlad easily pacified Lord Nrisimhadev because he offered him prayers that were very beautiful. And one of the most beautiful prayers he offered was that, I have no desire for anything material. My only desire is that I may become a pure devotee and that I may get free from any desires that I may possibly have, and that I want to help everybody. I want to see everybody engaged in devotional service. So therefore, it's said that he took birth as, what was his name? To pray in Lord Chaitanya's Leela. Who was it? Who? Yeah, but there was somebody else. Vasudev Dutt. Yeah, right. Vasudev Dutt. So Vasudev Dutt, he, Prabhupada says in the purport, that he was millions of times more compassionate than Jesus. Because we don't tell Christians that. But he prayed to actually suffer for all the bad karma of all the living entities. So this is true compassion. And so Prahlad, he lives in Harivarsha, and they worship Lord Nrisimhadev. I was giving class about Lord Nrisimhadev the other day in Hungary, and Lord Nrisimhadev is one of the three most important incarnations of Krishna. Who are the other ones? Ram and Krishna, right. So Lord Nrisimhadev is very important because we pray to Lord Nrisimhadev to purify a heart of material desires. May his nails, which are like thunderbolts, get rid of all our material desires. So Prahlad, he had no enmity against his father. And in the Brihad Bhagavatamrita, it's described how Narada Muni goes to visit Prahlad. And when he visits Prahlad, he's careful not to glorify him because he's been warned that if you glorify Prahlad, he's just going to go. So don't glorify him. So then Prahlad was saying, I'm just a materialistic devotee. Because somewhere or other, Krishna's given me this incredible opulence and this amazing planet. So I'm not a real devotee, because Narada was looking for the highest devotee. He was going here and there, trying to find the best devotee. So he said, it's only because I'm materialistic that Krishna's given me all this opulence. If you want to see a real devotee, you should go see Hanuman. Because Hanuman, he did so much service. He protected Sita Devi. He carried the mountain with the herbs to cure Lakshman. So go see him. So this is the mood of a devotee, that there's always someone more advanced, and devotee should always give respect to somebody who's more advanced, give respect to everybody, but especially to one who is more advanced. And sometimes we have superstars in our movement. And sometimes devotees, they get a little bit envious because somebody accomplishes more. So I heard a nice example, actually, of we're all playing on the same team. We're in the ISKCON team. And, sometimes someone may score a goal, and he becomes the hero. So the other team members, they should be very happy to see somebody do something wonderful. So that is a devotee that, even though, we may be limited, and one of the things you realize as you get older, that, even though Prabhupada said impossible is a word in a fool's dictionary, that, we have limitations. We have limitations, and some people have less limitations. So we have to accept what we are without having grudges against people who have more gifts, more abilities. So this is an important part of devotional service. So Krishna consciousness is a wonderful process, and if we practice sincerely, even though we may not be very scholarly or may want to study the books, but if we practice sincerely with a humble heart, then Krishna will help us in our life and make our life successful and perfect. So we just have to have faith. There's one verse, there's one purport in the Chaitanya Charitamrita where Srila Prabhupada says that if one believes that Krishna's name and Krishna are the same, then one is a pure devotee, even the neophyte condition. So we're neophytes. We're trying to develop love of Krishna. It's said that you could not even live in this body if you really had love of Krishna, because your body would not be able to withstand the symptoms of real love of God. So if you believe that Krishna is present within his name, and you chant purely without any material desire, and you listen to the mantra very attentively, then Krishna will purify your heart. And all these bad qualities, these fears, material desires will go away. So we just have to chant and be happy. Like Prabhupada said, what is the difficulty? There's no difficulty. We don't have any difficulty. We're in the perfect condition because we came to devotional service after millions of lifetimes, and we have this wonderful process of chanting and dancing, kirtan, with such an ecstatic life. And distributing books is so ecstatic. Everyone should go out and distribute books sometimes. Worshipping the deity. Now, Pankajangri Prabhu and his brother from Mayapur, Janani Vas, the very humble devotees. But when they were in Mayapur, I heard Janani Vas say that when Srila Prabhupada asked them to stay in Mayapur and worship the deity, he or they said, Oh, that's fantastic. I get the deity is God, so I'm right there close with God. Is that true? I heard you not even said that. So, you know, we have God right there. He's right in the holy name. He's right there in the books. So we have so much. And you have to finish. Thank you very much. Hare Krishna.